So, I want to talk to you about something that happened this past week.
I'm not going to lie, it scares me when you start out so slowly and you're very hesitant to tell me each word, so...
Well, I got a new horse. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, shit.
Talk about our four-year-old child had his first major fall off of a horse. So our four-year-old child had his first major fall off of a horse this week.
You're right, he did.
He hit pretty hard.
He did.
We had to throw the helmet away, the whole nine yards. Do we want to get into the helmet debate now, or should I save that?
Save that for later, but...
I'm ready for it, though.
You know, just to clarify for everybody listening, he was totally fine, and the helmet...
Pony was okay, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
During the fall, I didn't care about the pony at that moment. I cared more about my child. But he was totally fine, and the helmet did his job, and
he was okay. We said, "What is hurt? What hurts?" He said, "Only both my arms." But it was really cold out, and his hands were just really cold, and so everything hurt. But he's good, totally good. The little 30-year-old pony with no teeth and Cushing's, and got a quick little burst of energy out of nowhere, and sent our kid flying. But all's well that ends well, and it ended well. But I wanted to talk to you about that because I think sometimes how parents handle falls and how parents behave in their child's extracurricular activities really affect the child's future with that extracurricular activity.
All right.
I know. Interesting topic. We were not planned for this whatsoever.
Well, I guess my first question is, did you feel that I handled it poorly?
Well, I think sometimes you were a little over extreme on the emotional side.
Okay.
But I wasn't getting into what necessarily, how you acted. I wanted to take this more for older kids that potentially want to go into showing or are active in showing and competing. I think we see more and more as we see young adults, you know, getting back into horses after time off, or we have teenagers in our clinics, or that we're coaching, or adults, you know, middle-aged adults that were into horses in their youth. I think that there's an underlying theme with when parents push their kids too hard, and parents are the ones deciding what the kids should be competing in and when they should be competing and how often they should be competing. I think that there is an underlying theme that we have seen for the last few years that kids get burnt out. They end up leaving horses at some point in the future. And sometimes that could be they leave when they go to college. Other times it's maybe they went to school on an equestrian, very rarely, but equestrian scholarship. But at the least, they were in an equestrian program in college, and then they graduated and had to get what I like to call a real job outside of horses, and they left horses for a period of time. We see this theme come about quite frequently, and I think having an open and honest conversation from us as trainers, clinicians, instructors, and parents ourselves is a positive thing.
I agree with that. And I think, you know, you certainly went all the way through the ages there with that and how kind of this theme happens. I can certainly say, you know, definitely we've noticed that with our own kids. We have a 10-year-old and a 4-year-old, right? And the 10-year-old, when he first started riding, we totally made the biggest parents' mistakes possible, especially because of the fact that we are instructors. Such as we are, we wanted to try to make him...
He needed to be perfect, let's be honest. Who we are, a television show, our kid that goes to other barns and rides, and we were so concerned with our child riding properly and or just being a good horseman that we pushed.
Right. And we noticed the more that we pushed, the more he started, you know, pushing away from the horses. And
you're always harder on, they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, you're always hardy on. And it's true. You know, our second one, we're not nearly as hard on. And
as we were with our first.
You live and you learn with that. But, you know, the biggest thing we learned, you know, working with Levi was that the more we tried to help him be better and push him to be better, the more we drove him away from it. And, you know, that could even be said even in my life. You know, my parents, they gave me a great experience, first experiences with horses, and they got me my own horse at a young age. But, you know, just the sheer fact of being immersed into horses such as I was at a young age, I could certainly say drove me a little away from them.
You even left for a while.
I did. And, you know, I left when I was in high school and I got into, you know, into sports and realized I was terrible at that before I finally started to come back to horses. But I did. I left for a little while. And, you know, I certainly don't necessarily blame my parents or anything like that. But I would certainly say that being, you know, immersed into horses, I wanted to kind of get away from them. And so we noticed with Levi, after we recognized our mistakes, that we backed off pushing him, and we tried to really remember that this was about fun and let him make mistakes in a way that says, you know, he doesn't have to ride with his heels down every time he rides. He doesn't have to.
His hands don't need to be in the box.
Right. He doesn't have to, you know, post perfectly in order to trot and so forth. And when we finally started to let that go away, you know, that push, that drive, we started to notice as parents, he was certainly much more open to riding again. And, you know, it's really important, again, that it's, you know, you talk about as parents, other people can push your kids, right? Other people can tell them what to do.
Well,
riding.
Yeah, we generally have somebody else teach our kids now.
Exactly. And that's the key thing is, you know, my parents, they were instructors way back in the day, right? And they tried to tell me these things. And I remember specifically my mother screaming at me. Well, she probably wasn't screaming at me. It was more or less me screaming back. But she would tell me, you know, put your heels down. And I'd be screaming, I am, you know. And in hindsight, I probably didn't have my heels down, which is why she was telling me to put them down. But
moms know nothing.
That's right. Mom, especially instructor moms, you know,
they know nothing.
They know nothing.
We're making it up as we go.
Exactly. And so it's really important, we found, that as parents, you certainly need to not push them in a way that's going to push them so much that it's going to make them, drive them away from the horses.
Yeah. At a young age, it's really important that as instructors, you keep it fun for kids and have them wanting to come back. You know, and as they get older, what's so funny is I have talked to so many people, and we know one that we see weekly who, you know, she had the $25,000 Hunter pony and went to pony finals, and she left horses for years. And now she doesn't compete, she doesn't show, she has one horse that she boards, and she rides once a week. But her parents went all out for her. To go all the way up, you know, the levels, and then she was like, nah, I'm good at the end. And because you get burnt out. And I think that there are kids that are naturally competitive, but then there, I think that there are kids that want to have fun and they do want to challenge themselves and they enjoy some competing, but then I think their parents come in and ruin it for them. And I will say it as black and white as I think it is, because I see it time and time again. And yeah, we see it not just in horses, guys. Look at sports. Look at your high school sports and your middle school sports. Y'all, I'm sure, have seen the parents screaming on the sidelines, right, that are embarrassing the hell out of their kids and embarrassing themselves because they're too into a 10-year-old's football game.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say is they... you know, when it comes to being a parent, right, you want the best for your kid. You want them to succeed. I think we just get lost. You know, we get lost in that idea. We want so badly for them to succeed because you can see something in them that maybe either you saw in yourself or maybe you didn't see in yourself, but you wish you had, and you think, well, I was never that good at football, or never that good at horses and or basketball, but
or my child has so much potential, I want to see them use it for something like a scholarship.
Exactly, and then you get too much on your high horse, saying, you know, you gotta push to be able to get the scholarship versus playing video games and doing all these other things. And the more you say these things to your child, the more it ends up driving them away. And we have certainly seen that firsthand.
Yeah, and it's not just with horses. So this isn't just, you know, it's not just horse related. We see it with all sports and all kids, and it happens all over. But I think that it's something that we all need to be open about and look inside of ourselves. And I know that Scott and I have literally been at horse shows when there are kids leaving the arena because they didn't do so well with their course. And the first thing the instructor is saying to this 6 or 7 year old is, you know, what the hell was that out there? Why didn't you do this? Versus, good job staying on your horse. Let's talk about your next, you know, course coming up. You know, and the kid's in tears, and the instructor is literally, like, we can hear them yelling at their students, and your heart kind of breaks, because there's a difference between being a tough instructor and just being wrong.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a really good way to even kind of round this around is to talk about, you know, just, and when we say these things, mind you, like, these are just things that we have found to start to work for us. By the way, but how do you, you know, if you notice that your child has these natural abilities, how do you push them in a way that doesn't, or student or whomever, how do you push them in a way that doesn't drive them away from, you know, from the sport? And I think it really just comes back to how we even think about a training approach with a horse. You know, it's really just trying to make them want to do these things, or want to do the sport.
Enjoying their job.
Enjoying themselves. So they have motivation to do it themselves. That's a big key word here. Self-motivation.
And that's a biggie. That is something that myself, Scott, and Carrie can pick out. This child is self-motivated. If you give them the opportunity to do anything, they're going to take it. If they're going to be out there 5 nights a week, if you let them, practicing, they are self-motivated. Versus the child that you open the door for multiple opportunities and they're like, I don't really know if I want to come out on a Sunday. You know, maybe I'll try it again next weekend. But sometimes those are the ones whose parents are like, you have to be there on a Sunday. You have to be there 4 nights a week, you know.
And we get it too, though, right? Because at the same time, you get it from the parent's perspective of saying, I'm spending all this much money, you better not be wasting, you know, be wasting it, type thing. And we totally understand that as well. And so the biggest thing is, you know, in those circumstances, you just need to figure out how you can try to create the self-motivation. And you know,
sometimes that self-motivation, Scott, is simply the kid only wants to take a weekly riding lesson. And is that really a waste of money? Let's ask ourselves. You know, they want to take a weekly riding lesson, but they don't want to compete. They don't really want to show, or they just want to compete at a local level. You know, with a little team at a small facility, where it's not for points. They're not going to get a scholarship for horses. Is that really a waste of money? Because your kid is having social time at a barn, not the mall. Your kid is having social time with other equestrians, not sitting, you know, in somebody's basement on their couch at a friend's house doing who knows what. So at the end of the day, you know, that $55 a week lesson, is it really a waste of money to do? And they're also doing something active, you know?
Right.
So maybe they're not competing, or maybe they're just wanting to play around with little shows. I I'll be the first one to tell you that I think, you know, weekly lessons can get pricey, and so can shows. But I would gladly spend that money on that versus giving my kid $20 a week to go to the mall with their friends. You know, and we might get negative feedback for this, and I'm sure people are going to be like, but other trainers pushed me and look where I am. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But at the end of the day, we teach people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And the feedback that we get are when parents get involved too much and push too hard. Kids get burnout, they leave horses, and then eventually they'll come back around. But that push and all that money spent to try to get them to be something special in the horse world ended up pushing them away for a while.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of comes back to you telling the story about Jackson, our 4-year-old who fell, you know, this past week. And, you know, even for him, I noticed that, you know, when anybody falls, what's the first thing that we really focus in on?
Well, if you're Scott, you go screaming, oh my God!
That's not even close to true.
Yeah.
I'm waiting till you're done eating.
Oh, I just want a piece of ice. I can't find one, Scott.
So one thing we didn't tell everybody in the beginning of the podcast here is we're actually doing this podcast in a little bit different location than normal. We are doing this podcast in a car because we spend a lot of time in one. We're heading back from events and clinics and stuff up in Wisconsin, and we figured what a perfect opportunity to kind of have a conversation. And since we spend so much time in the car, we would utilize it. So, you know, we might get interrupted every once in a while by the GPS.
So I think this is a great topic for you and I to discuss, because we aren't just clinicians, we aren't just horse trainers, we're not just instructors, we're also parents. So we literally teach children on horses. We teach adults on horses. We coach at shows. We compete ourselves. But we're also a mom and a dad, with one kid who's active in Boy Scouts, another kid who wants to be active in every single thing, soccer to horses. You know, so we've been parents of children in sports outside of horses. So we've watched how parents act with their kids on the sidelines, right, in that regard. And we've been those parents when you're, you know, cheering your son on to make the goal, he didn't make the goal, or he was open to pass to somebody, chose not to, and you're thinking to yourself, why did he make that decision? You know, we've been those parents too. So I think it's a good topic for us to discuss, because we have it on both sides, being able to be the instructor and the mom and dad.
Well, right, but you didn't let me finish my story.
I didn't want to. I had something more important to say.
So, just going back, though, to Jackson, when he fell, the first thing that most of us know when we get, you know, come flying off a horse is, you know, you're always told by anyone standing around, of course, after, you know, it's found out that you're okay, you know, it's, well, you got to get back on.
Oh, shit just got real. I got to get back on.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the first thing that's always said, right? You have to get back on. Well, you know, first off, everybody knows their children. And I'm using this as an example because, you know, our 4-year-old, it's not, and it's kind of with everybody, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I can tell you right now that for him specifically, if you sit there and you tell him, you know, well, you have to get back on, and you just go about it that way with
well, yeah,
no...
Yeah, because the first thing he said when he stood up is he said, I don't want to ride anymore.
Yeah, and we certainly know that he has a drive and wants to ride, but how do you get someone, as 4-year-old especially, convinced to say, well, you fell off, but you must get back on? And instead of forcing it where they hate that experience, where they get back on and then they're just trembling, it's all kind of how you convince him or convince them to get back, to actually get back on and try to have that confidence. And there she is. But it's all how you convince them to get back on and have that confidence that they need to have when riding. And so I remember I kind of had a short little conversation with him that was less about saying that you have to get on, more about saying, you know what, man, watching you come off and be able to get up, dust yourself off like that, really just shows me really how tough you are. And he looks up and he says, yeah, I'm tough. And I said, you know, man, being that tough, it really I'm really proud of you because of how tough you really are. And he says, thank you. And I said, you know, though, to really show how tough you are, you think you can show me how tough you are by getting back on and riding him again? And, you know, he hesitated for a minute and he thought about it and he says, you know what? Yes, I'll get back on. And he said, but I don't want to trot. And of course, I didn't try to say, well, you have to trot, because that's the gate that he fell off at. And well, that's not true. We were trying to pick up a canter, but it was in between a trot and a canter.
The horse picked up the canter after he threw
a little hop, skip, and a jump. But you know, so I took it. I didn't say you have to trot again. I just took it. And long story short, kind of going around that idea of saying, you know, helping him realize that he being tough, he wants to do it. He really had a great experience going back to it. Now, you know, doing it that way for every single person may not be the answer, but for him specifically, it worked. And he got back on and he wasn't as afraid. He was a little afraid, but I could convince him otherwise, or convince him to you know, have a different emotion other than fear. And, you know, we had a good experience, so much to a point that, you know, after he got off, correctly this time, after he got off, he even told me, you know, I think in 2 days, I'm going to ride Rupert again. I'm going to ride him again. And I was just out of the clear blue. And it was really great to see and to hear that he didn't just want to shut down completely.
Yeah, no, I do think, you know, you handled it well. And I hope that people don't think I was too harsh on this or too critical. But, you know, it was just something that I've seen a lot. And we've even had students come to us and say, you know, I don't really want to compete anymore, but my parents want me to. And then we're kind of put in the middle, right?
Right.
Or we'll have students that say, I don't want to ride English and jump. I want to ride Western. But the parents come to us and they say, you need to make them ride English and jump. Even though knowing that the kid already came to us and said that they don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, so I think that I most definitely don't think that an instructor knows your child better than you do. So I think that it's really important, though, that there's an open line of communication between what, you know, you think is best for your child, but what the instructor or trainer thinks is best for the child's future in horses and their happiness. So, no, nobody knows your kids better than you do, right? And as a mom, I can say that. But I would also hope that a coach of any sport, any discipline, an instructor of some kind would come to me and be like, hey, listen, I know I don't know your kid as well as you do. But I really think that if we take it down a notch for the next few months and focus on X, Y, and Z, it might give them some more motivation come spring to want to work toward these goals again. And I think that that should be taken to heart too, because, you know, coaches of any discipline deal with a lot of kids, you know, and they see it and they see the emotions that the kids have. And a lot of times kids will talk to their coaches and instructors before they'll talk to their parents about what they want.
Right.
You know, so I really think that parents can really make or break a kid and their future.
you know, and it just kind of made me think, as kind of bringing this all back around, just in general, is you have to remember whether this whole conversation's been about kids, but whether it's kids or adults, yourself included, notice that, again, the more you do things like pushing yourself, sometimes you push yourself away when you maybe just need to take a step back and remember why you got into this to begin with, why your children got into this to begin with, and that is to have fun. And I think that's the biggest key. And no matter what, whether it's horses, it's football, it's soccer, it's karate, you need to remember why they got into it, and that should be your main motivation.
You should want to see your kid literally having fun, and you know, you should want to see your kid after they have a horrible horse show. You should still see them walking out of a horse show with a smile on their face, petting their horse, because they should still, at the end of the day, be happy that they were there on their horse.
Agreed.
And when that smile goes away and it's replaced with tears, or it's replaced with tears going into an event or a discipline, where you're going into a football game and they don't want to go to practice and they're crying, and why is this happening?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know, and like I said, that is literally the same advice that at least one person, a clinic, we tell that to.
Yeah.
Right? We tell them, you know, they're trying too hard to accomplish something, and all they really need to do is take a step back, put a smile on their face, and just have fun. Just remember why you got into this. And essentially, the people who do that will come back around, and they'll either, you know, have a whole new self-motivation to do better, or they'll find themselves remembering and just enjoying the sport for what it is.
Agreed. I absolutely agree. I think this has been an interesting podcast for us because, you know, we usually talk more about maybe a training tip or a tactic or something that happened, or, you know, usually we don't usually have such a controversial topic. But I suppose, as you said, I'm supposed to be more myself. I'll be bringing to you all those controversial topics.
I didn't think that this was that controversial.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to get somebody that writes in and they're like, you don't know my kid, and my kid's instructor is just as hard as they need to be. And we're going to get those people that are like, George Morris makes everybody cry, and look how great he is. And George Morris put thumbtacks on my saddle.
We just tell people to imagine the thumbtacks.
That's right. I'm just waiting.
Well, I do think this was good, though. A good conversation to have. And mainly just, you know, honestly, the biggest thing is everybody's different. And I think we just all need to...
We need to play to ourselves and our child's. And we need to play to their abilities and their joys. And really harness and highlight what makes them happy and glow.
I agree. So
and for you yourself, so with, what makes you happy?
So with all that being said, I think we're going to round it down here today. This has been fun, and we do ask though for your help. We want to continue doing these podcasts. We hope that, you know, the viewers that we have enjoy themselves listening in. If you do enjoy yourself, we'd love for you to go over and rate the podcast. I'm not certain if you can rate the podcast on anything but Apple Podcasts.
I'm not sure, but if you have a rating other than 5 stars, just keep it to yourself.
Well, I was going to say that again. Is you know, the old saying, if you have nothing nice to say, then don't say it at all. So most certainly, if you we want you to rate it. If it's a positive, if it's a negative, you're
just
welcome
tell
to
your friends.
Or just write in as an email, and we can easily put it where it belongs in the trash. So with that being said, I want to thank you guys very much.
No, we're not drinking. This is just us because we're driving.
Yeah. Well, one of us is driving, so.
Well, I'm just drinking lemon water. There's lemons.
So I want to thank you guys so much for listening in, and we will see you on our next Horse and Home podcast. Thanks so much, guys.